Here's a question for Brandon. What good characteristics of your father and your mother did you appreciate and have tried to imitate?
Well, in case of my father, his cheerfulness, his contentment, his constancy, reliability, and his genuine love.
Yeah,
and of course the text that goes with that is 1 Timothy 6:6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And I think that really summed up my father very well. And I think he's passed that on to us.
And your mother?
I think her good, loving discipline and training. And of course, on the spiritual side, she taught me to know, love, and obey the Lord. She had very much upon her heart that spiritual life. And that was, of course, during the time when my father was away for nearly 5 years in the war. So she had to do that on her own, which was really quite a task. Yeah. With the bombs falling all around and not knowing from one day to the next what's going to happen. Yeah. She kept the home going.
Okay, thank you. Perhaps you could ask Mom the same question. What good characteristics of your father and your mother did you appreciate and have tried to imitate?
They were both peaceful, hardworking, never heard cuss words until it really became bad. No shouting in the house. Yeah, that was my younger brother who didn't do his homework. We learned to work, do our duties, we always on the go, and we're happy. They helped us with education, they found that important, gave us opportunity. And they lived godly lives. Open house for everybody, living for everybody, even in the wartime, and there was no food and a lot of danger. You could trust them.
Thank you. Another question for Dad now. In what way is your walk with Jesus different now than when you were 20 or 25 years old?
Well, in some ways, no change, because my same beliefs and convictions about Jesus, about Christian life and service, the only difference is that now that's all been matured through long years of experience and life challenges and trials and testings. So we've proved in a practical way the faithfulness of the God we trust. Yesterday, same yesterday, today, and forever. I think it's just the difference that putting all those things to the test is made and finding it is true. We don't need to change what we believe.
Okay. And Mum, in what ways is your walk with Jesus different now than
25? I always, as a child, had loved the Lord and always dreamt about being a missionary. When I was 20, it became in preparation. And then the thing, of course, came up. You know, Helene Voorhoeven, that was the only missionary I knew, wrote her a letter, and she told me to go to England, do midwifery, and learn fluent English. And I was fully aware that if I would go as a missionary to Egypt, my dream of getting married and having a family would be given up. And so it came very strongly, was I prepared to obey God and what he said. And the first message I heard when I was in England in a little chapel was, I'll read it because otherwise I quote it wrong. What is it? If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And I desperately want to be a disciple and an obedient Christian. That was the big issue. between God and me until I handed it over to God. And now it is very different. The sacrifices was prepared to give. I got back again by getting a husband and getting five kids.
And all that follows
this year. Through everything, God has been faithful to us. With all the ups and downs, the problems, a lot of loneliness in Colombia, He was at my side and helped us through. That's how it is now.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, Dad, a question for you. If you could live again, what would you give more attention to, or more importance to, and what would you give somewhat less attention to?
I think I would give more attention to personal relationships. With my wife, my family, fellow believers, and even unbelievers, I think that I would give greater emphasis to developing personal relationships.
And what things would you give somewhat less attention to?
Less attention to the differences that I may have with other Christian groups and denominations. Less focus on negative things. Rather focus on the good and positive things, what we have in common as Christians, and agree on, and to learn from each other rather than pick holes in other people. Learn positive things from each other. I think that's the difference that I'd rather concentrate on. That's what I try to do now. And to support and encourage each other rather than criticize.
Thank you. Mum, how would you, if you could live again, what would you give it more attention to and less?
I was thinking in the night about that, especially. More attention for me, the family. Would it have been better had we left with the children, gone to Europe? What would the results have been? To our children, with our children, was it selfish for me to want to be with them when they married and had their little ones? Was I unfaithful to want so much to be with the children, not have an empty home? Or was I unfaithful to God by not doing what He asked me to do in Colombia? And I don't know. I don't know.
If you did it all again, you wouldn't know again.
That's the same then. Would I put more emphasis on family, children, then, or would I be more emphasis in winning people for the Lord and just give my children over to the Lord Himself and He'll take care of them? That was sort of my thinking. The Lord will love them more than I do, so He'll look after them.
As an aside to that, I would just add, if I may, that the work we were doing is just at a rather critical stage. We just built the new big meeting hall in Pereira, it holds 400 people. We just at that time, John had been very sick. I'd been through a lot of testing times with John. And I think the work we were doing was just at a critical stage. If we had left then, I just wonder how things would have gone. And I know for a fact that the fact that we stuck at our guns, we didn't run away when things got tough, it had a positive effect on many people. People like Jaime Guerrero, for example, and his people. They were very impressed by the fact they'd seen other missionaries, as soon as they get a toothache, they're off back to the States. And they saw that we stuck it up and we didn't run away. And they appreciated that, that we really put the Lord's work that had called us to, our calling first, rather than our own personal comfort. And after that, many more people came into the church at that time. Quite a big influx.
Thank you. A question for you, Dad. Outside of Bible figures, excluding Bible figures, what two or three people have you found inspiring, and why?
Well, I put first my wife. She is the sort of compliment that I need for my character, for my personality. She has challenged me, she has pushed me, she has helped me, she has encouraged me, and
dragged you.
Many things that we wouldn't have achieved in life without my wife beside me helping. And the text that she mentioned was a text that came to all of us very early on in our relationship. Luke 14:26. If a man and doesn't hate father and mother and so on. And linked with that text is another one in Mark 10, which I'd like to read in verse 29. So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come eternal life." And I think as we look around here, we can see the Lord has not quite 100-fold, is it?
Yes.
But it's getting up towards it. It is interesting. No, we certainly haven't lost out by giving up something for the Lord. The Lord has really prospered us in the family above so many that we see around us, and we give all praise to God for that. So where was I? Yes, people have it. Another person is in the family too, Annemarie's parents. Her father and mother, they had a great influence on me. I learned very much from Harm Wilts, Annemarie's father. His teaching, his way of preaching, many things about him impressed me. And of course, the family life. I just come from I was the only son, only child in a family. Very small family, really. And to be connected with a big family, it opened my eyes to what family life was all about. So I felt it was great help, great influence, and the sort of values they had impressed me very much. And there was one other sister, nobody, you don't know her, she passed away many years ago, but when I was in the Air Force, I got stationed somewhere where I could attend the assembly in Sherborne St. John in Hampshire, and there was a lady there, her name was Ethel Munger. She took a great interest in young people like myself. She was an older woman, 40, in her 40s at that time, and she had several young men that she was sort of encouraging. And several of those finished up on the mission field. And I think she had a great input into their lives. She corresponded very faithfully with me and discussed really deep issues in Christian life. Challenged me very much on Romans 12:1-2. Present your bodies, living sacrifice. What are you going to do with your life? Are you just going to live for personal gain or prosperity, or are you going to, you want something really worthwhile to come out of your life? You know, and it really made an impact. And when we came to live in Hampshire, as we did later on, and the point, and that was our assembly. She also took a great interest and was a great woman of prayer. Unfortunately, she died quite early, but she had done a great deal for us, and I think for these other fellows that she was helping. They all became very active Christians. So, there's three people.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that it? Can I pass it on to Mum now?
People have been sponsored.
So, Mum, can I ask you the same question? Since outside of the Bible figures, what two or three people have you found inspiring and why?
Again, my parents. Their quality of life, their dedication to God, to the family, their peacefulness in the house. That was the best example I could have. And this verse, by the way, I mean, we are incredibly grateful for the Lord, to our family, but that verse said something more. It says, when you leave everything for the Lord, you get children and family here, and that included, when I was very lonely, especially the Christians, the people that came to the Lord, they were our spiritual children, where we prayed for, where we taught, and where we accompanied and visited. And in a certain sense, especially in Eva Gabe, and that was so often away, I prayed for spiritual children where I could put my life in and would cut my loneliness away as well by doing it.
Okay, now for the last two questions. One is, Dad, since retiring, if you allow me that term, what have been some of the challenges you have faced and what are you learning from them?
Well, there's two things that come to my mind. To make new friendships where we now live, I think that's and be a blessing to those friendships. That's one of the challenges, and it's not. I don't say we have made some contacts and we are in touch with a lot of people, but and of course. Another thing is to be aware of what's going on around you spiritually in the way, in the town where you live. What is God doing? And if possible, get involved with it and help. I think that's the sort of challenge that I feel. And there is a lot going on in Red Hill and Reigert, and the churches work together very well there, and there's a lot of activities, some of which we can sometimes get involved with, especially with ministry to older people. And of course, where we live, the flats where we live, there's 41 flats, all old people who are getting near the end of their lives. That I see as a challenge. What have I learned? It's not easy. But yes, we're still praying very much about that and seeking opportunities. Some visited in hospital and a few days before they died, and read the Bible and pray for them, things like that. There's things that we can do, but it's not easy. People don't open up easily, not as easy as in Latin America.
And Mum, since retiring, what have been some of the challenges you have faced or are facing, and what are you learning from them?
I still feel a bit a fish out of water in England. It's not my country. My heart is more in England, in Colombia. It's difficult to really get to know English people. You have to love each other. You never say bluntly the truth, or they say, "How are you? Oh, fine, thank you." They wouldn't say, "Now I feel rotten. Can you help me?" And I find that very difficult. It seems to be all superficial. And with the contacts we try to get in the home, I get the feeling as soon as you try to say something, you know, you could pray, or will I pray? Oh, that hurts. You don't do that. And that makes you feel very useless. Yeah, very. You say, "Well, Lord, why are we here? What are we doing?" Now, of course, the very positive thing from being there is we've got at last all the time together. And far more than we ever had in Colombia. That's very positive.
And also more contact with our children and grandchildren, which we enjoy very much.
Yeah.
Positive side.
And we far more live grateful day by day. Going through that cancer, to George Strauss, to heart attack, and here we are still up and about happy.
We made a great friendship with the National Health.
Your money's worth. All the hats they can take.
Yeah, in closing, Dad, what else would you like to say to us?
Well, just two things, really. The great importance and value of good, Christ-centered marriages and families. And I think that's one reason why we've had several of these family reunions. We feel this is a really good investment. To have times like this when we really cultivate friendship, when the younger generation get to know each other as well, and anything that can be done to strengthen family ties, marriage ties, I think is really worthwhile. And Psalms 127-128 have always been favorite psalms of mine. If you read them, you probably know them, do you? The ones that talk about if they labour in vain, build the house unless this God builds it. In other words, building not just a material house, but a family house, a family, a marriage. It's like building, isn't it? And unless God is the architect and you are following his instructions, in vain are you building. And the blessings of a family, of father and mother with the children, compares it to the plants, olive plant. But I'll just read one of those psalms to show you what I mean. But I do recommend them to you. Psalms 127 and 128. Sorry, I'm not finding it very quickly here. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And then a bit further, I'll just skip down. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. And comparing children to arrows, I think, is very interesting, because a lot of preparation goes into making a good arrow. It has to be really straight, has to have the little feathers at the back and so on. Otherwise, when you release it, it will go crooked. And I think that's a good picture of preparing our children, so that when we release them, when they go fly from the home, they will fly straight in the way that the Lord wants. And I'm so thankful that we could say that that has happened. We're so happy that our five children have been good arrows. And they found good arrows to marry. And I trust that they will have that same joy of seeing their offsprings fly straight for the Lord. And then there's the next Psalm, 128, that gives you a little picture. Behold, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Where you eat of the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. So, I'm very happy to see all these olive plants. And we give praise to the Lord for that. So that's one thing, the emphasis, the priority on marriage, good marriage, and family life. I recommend to every one of you to give real emphasis to that. Don't let anything come in to cause neglect of those very important things. And then the other thing is prayer. I believe one of the reasons that our family has been so blessed is that many people have prayed for us. And some have said, we pray for you every day. I hadn't realized it till recently. And I know my parents prayed for us. I know Annemie's parents prayed for us. This lady I've mentioned in Sherborne and many others. All the time when we were out in Colombia, when the children were small, we were just surrounded by faithful prayer warriors. And I think that is important. We personally prayed for our children long before they were born, or even before they were conceived. And I recommend that too. And but to carry that on and not let a single day go by in which you don't pray for your children. It's so important. And I would recommend if we can pray that this the nun tribe, so we say, that the blessings will continue into future generations. Now there will become a time when we won't be able to be all together, all of us like this, but each one of you will have your own family reunions, your children, your grandchildren, and their wives and so on. It's happened with Annemie's family that we haven't been able to keep in touch with all the descendants of all her siblings. And so it has to sort of spread out a bit. But I recommend to each of you to have family reunions and to cultivate good relationships in the family. It's the best investment you can give. And it will give the greatest results and good consequences for the future generation. And I think that is something we have to realize, that we are, what we do affects future generations down the line. When there's failure, that failure gets reciprocated down the line. When there's blessing, the Lord honors it and blessing comes down. We personally can look back on several generations of believers. Parents, grandparents, were all believers, committed believers. So, you know, we have a sort of dynasty, a believing dynasty, and that's such a privilege and such a blessing, and something to be prayed about. I recommend that we do pray for each other.
Thank you. And Mum, what else would you like to say before we end?
I say amen, amen to what Dad said. All I had to learn something more. I know we didn't have long time to get those arrows nicely, and I would have loved to keep them in my, whatever that thing is called. And that was not God's way. They had to be shot away. Not easy. But again, God steered them all well. And I'm grateful.
Okay, thank you. Dad, I'd just like to pray for your blessing over all us. And then we'll have our dessert. And then we have a few little things after our dessert. Okay? You'd like to just end with prayer?
Sure. Yes, our God, our gracious God and Father, we have so much to thank you for as we look back over the few decades that we have been married, and as our children have grown up and our grandchildren now starting to have great grandchildren, Lord, we can only give all the praise and glory to you and thank you that you have led, that you have overruled, that you've protected and helped us, and are helping our children now with their families and our grandchildren as they are forming their homes and marriages. We ask, Lord, that you will continue to bless them. Lord, may this heritage that you've given us continue into future generations till our Lord comes. We do ask, Lord, for grace where there is, where there are trials and difficulties, and we particularly want to pray for John and Carolyn. We know their life is not easy, but we are thankful that you've kept them and you've enabled them to go on, and you've blessed them with wonderful children, and we pray that you'll also bless them with grandchildren. So, Lord, we bless and we praise you. We give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.